Boys and girls, it is playoff time.
Larson has the advantage. Here comes the 18. He puts the ball back.
16 drivers battle for NASCAR's ultimate prize, but only one will be called champion.
And there's the gap between one and two. Kyle Busch. And here comes Larson. Larson to the bottom of the track.
Under the lights of the nighttime sky on the beaches of Miami, Florida.
Miami, Florida.
Time to put your armor on. Tighten those seatbelts, because we're about to go three wide on the track.
Kurt Busch right up in front of the 42. Now he moves out of the way.
Three Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3 starts right now. Here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
What's good, boys and girls? The Three Wide NASCAR Podcast is on the airwaves. EG3 here with you, as always, for the NASCAR Podcast, latest in the world of NASCAR. And tonight, October 11th, on this Thursday night, 2018, we're going to break it down for you. The From Pit Road Edition. Big D's here with me in the EG3 garage area. And he doesn't even have the music ready, but I'm going to move on anyways. But so much to get to, but I'm going to save my 2 cents of the Jimmy Johnson news for the post-race Talladega next week. But we're going to focus solely on this team who made some big waves here over the last probably 24 hours, really 48 hours or so. And if you've been listening to this podcast from the beginning or just jumped into it, we've been doing a segment, or I've been doing a special segment called From Pit Road, which means it's all about the latest in the teams competing in the three divisions, the Capable Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and, of course, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. And we have not done one on Levine Family Racing, I don't believe, yet this year. Big D is double-checking that for sure. I'm pretty sure we have not, but this is probably a perfect time to do that with so much going on with this team. And obviously, the big news, really two big news, is it says Kasey Kahne dealing with the dehydration issues from Darlington still was not cleared by his doctors. And with that being said, big news, or one of the big news stories this week already, if there's been a lot going on over the last 40 hours, Kasey Kahne will not be back in the number 95 Chevy for Levine Family Racing. And on top of that, shutting it down, pretty much putting a stamp on it, sadly, will not be back this year. And of course, Kahne announced a month or two ago that he would not be participating in full-time activities in NASCAR, and that he'll be putting himself on a limited basis, and he wants to focus back on dirt tracks and all that. And he's made a letter earlier this week and all that jazz and all that. But definitely sad for Kasey Kahne fans out there. And a once rising star, and I'm going to put it like this. I'm going to say it might be blunt, but I'm sorry. But a rising star was once shining in the distance. Now, a fallen star to unfortunate circumstances. And it's a tough situation because we all thought that Kasey Kahne was going to be that next rising star. You know, obviously, you know, rose up in the rookie season with Everham Motorsports back then. And he took on a scene like no other rookies before. He set the standard for rookies, really. He set the tone, kind of like these guys. And then Larson and Chase Elliott of the world followed through with their outstanding rookie season. And then, of course, his second sophomore year, getting that elusive victory at Richmond. And then, you know, you track fast forward a little bit. Things were up in the upswing when moving to Hendrick Motorsports. And, you know, he made the playoffs in the beginning of his stint there and all that. And he was risen to a higher standard. Obviously, Hendrick Motorsports, one of the more successful organizations, obviously, in NASCAR, and still is going on. Kane risen to a higher standards, and later on in the second half of his stint there, just didn't get it done. Multiple crew chiefs there and all that with Jimmy Johnson, Jeff Gordon, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Casey Mears. You know, Casey Mears didn't only won but one little race, a few miles strategy in one of the bigger races of the year, the Coke 600 and all that, but still though, and even going back to last year, you know, that big time win at Indy last year, thought it was going to be enough. It was not. Henrik decided to move on from Casey Kane, and Casey Kane decided he did not want to deal with all that pressure. Excuse me. On top of all that, so he wanted a fresh change, a new atmosphere. He moves over here to a much, you want to say, much more easy environment to Levine Family Racing, where they had high expectations. Obviously, Levine Family Racing moving on from Michael McDowell for the last several years. And they thought they were going to make a move just like Furniture Row did, but it has not panned out. Only one top five this year. That coming at Daytona in a night race in July. And then dealing with these dehydration issues at Darlington. And it was marked, obviously, Big D guys, that these guys, well, Casey Kane has been dealing with this going back to last year at Indianapolis, where, of course, we talked about it already. He won that race, but he was so exhausted that he couldn't even stand up to get $5 from a cashier. it was just not a pretty situation, even though he had won the race. And definitely, Kane, this will put the bow on Kane's Cup career. 18 Cup victories in a span, 93 top fives, and scored 23 poles in his career. Casey Kane hanging it up due to not being medically cleared, even though he said he was okay in that little note he posted on Twitter a couple of days ago. But yeah, man, I mean, this is a shame. I mean, now we're seeing guys retire. I mean, which, yes, is a good thing. I mean, Dale Earnhardt Jr., I mean, dealing with those concussion situations, issues over the past several years, he had to hang it up due to that. And also, you have to also think about your family also. So, Dale Jr., obviously, he celebrated a birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, Dale Jr. So he had to make priorities for that. That's good for him. And Casey said the same thing. He has to think about Tanner, his son, and all that. So they're thinking, obviously, the big picture, which is obviously the 100% right thing to do when you're dealing with these type of injuries. It's such unfortunate, man. I mean, Casey Kane, once labeled as a possible championship contender, and he's not going to reach that, obviously, due to that. And, you know, Casey Kane, we've seen him run in the back multiple times this year. And except for a couple, obviously, that miraculous effort in the July race where he tried to get in at the time to the playoffs. Obviously, the 95 team did not get in to the playoffs this year, dealing with that. And now, boys and girls, Casey Kane also hangs it up. So, over the last 3 years, guys, we've had some marquee names in the sport leave due to retirement, health issues, or not being medically cleared. Well, you can tie in health issues and medically not being cleared by doctors in the same category. But going back, Tony Stewart wanted to be around his team, obviously, and the talk, obviously, this year from the jump has been Stewart Haas Racing. Obviously, that more, and Stewart Haas Racing has been the talk this year. And they ran all four cars at one point were standing 1, 2, 3 or running 1, 2, 3, and 4 at Dover before all hell broke loose in the last probably 30 minutes of that race. Stewart wanted to do more, get his hands dirty, get back to dirt racing, things like that. So he's doing that currently on top of seeing if all four of his teams can make up half of the Elite Eight But that's going to be a challenge now because Chase Elliott winning Dover last week. He doesn't have to worry about what could happen at Talladega, which we're a couple days away from that. Dale Earnhardt Jr. retires, like I mentioned. And then in here, let's not forget about Carl Edwards' unexpected retirement here for whatever reason it was. Was it disagreement? Was it heartbreak over championship? I think, in my opinion, I've said this on this podcast multiple times, that I think it was a championship. Because if he wins that championship a couple years ago, I don't think he retires, really, for that matter. You can't sit here and tell me that he won a championship. I mean, yes, all Cinderella stories, you know, prior to that great season that Carl Edwards had a couple years ago, the year that Jimmy Johnson won his seventh title, that this cat was not thinking about retirement. He was in good equipment. Dave Rogers has been in the news this week. Again, we could chat about that, but I'm saving that on the back for next week's post-race reaction, playoff reaction of Talladega. Saving that. He was on the verge of the championship, and then he and Logano got involved in that massive wreck going into turn one. That changed it, and the heartbreak of it was. And then being on top of that stage, Big D. you know, as well as I do, being a part of that stage where you're one of the last drivers or one of the last teams standing, playing in a big game or racing for a championship, you're right there in the mix. This is probably your best chance at a championship. Carl Edwards, and we got no warning, no few weeks ahead, no hyped up talk, no none of this, none of that. He just up and gone. Made his announcement and then said, "Peace out, man. I'm out this joint." You know what I'm saying? So there's that Dale Jr. And now, obviously, Matt Kenseth of last year didn't have a ride, did not sign up. And then he was kicked out until he was brought back this year because Trevor Bayne was running like shit again. So, Kenseth, I don't think he's going to get a ride unless Roush decides to bring him back. You know, Matt Kenseth wanted a competitive ride back then. Obviously, that emotional win at Phoenix last November was awesome. The emotion and everything else went into it. And is still in a cup champion. At that, Matt Kenseth does not get a ride, and he's put to the shelf for half of this year, up until we saw him in Kansas, Big D, in KC, Big D, making his debut there. He looked awful, awful back in May. He was just downright terrible, and I'm not used to seeing back in May. We were looking at each other like, damn, you're not used to seeing Matt Kenseth, and excuse me, I sound a little different. Dealing with some sinus issues, but I'm handling it the best I can. So give me a heads up. I sound a little different. That's why. But Matt Kenseth, we're not seeing him back here four laps down at Kansas, a place where a track that he has won at. So that was really, really weird to see him and not have the speed. Obviously, we've seen him. That team has grown a little bit. The best we've seen that team run was at Indianapolis, where he won a stage. It was in contention possibly to make a run for the win until the pit crew fucked up. So, excuse my language, but but yeah, that's the truth. They screwed it up and took Matt Kenseth out of a top 10 for sure. Had a top 10, maybe possibly even take it further than that, a top 5, guys. So, Matt Kenseth out, and he's going to ride it out, and that situation now, and we're probably not going to see him next year, you know, with these limited spaces of rides. And now you have, well, Dale Jr. and Matt Kenseth retired. Jr. retired fully while still have that one race deal back at Richmond, while Kenseth retired for the time being last year. So you have those guys, and now Casey Kane from Levine Family Racing, after a promising career, obviously one of the biggest wins of his career, Indy, but obviously to make the playoffs, he was clutch. That year where he had to make the playoffs, He won in Atlanta, a walk-off pretty much there to get into the playoffs. So he's done that several times in his career. But he's leave on a down note. You're listening to 3 Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3, here with you guys tonight on this From Pit Road edition of the podcast, because Levine Family Racing making some headwaves here over the last 48 hours. Decided, we'll just cue this up right now. Do it right now while the iron's still hot. And oh, by the way, this is the road to part of the Road to Kansas edition as well. We are closing in a few days away, really less than a week and a half away from activity in Kansas City. Can't wait to get over there. Me and Big D and some of the posse will be over there getting pumped up for the elimination race next weekend. It's going to be set up by this dramatic Talladega. And yeah, man, it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of here and what storylines we're going to be talking about going into next week's elimination race. But yeah, heartbroken for Casey Kane and that team and that him. I'm sure he wanted to do more, but same time, I think Henrik Motorsports, in my opinion, just wore him down. The pressure and all that comes with it, trying to win championships and all that. He did not live up to that, unfortunately. And even a change of scenery didn't help either. And obviously, Miss Casey Kane, in his right mind frame, knows he can run in the top 10, top 5, and contend for wins. We have not seen him do that, really. And this includes that little stretch with Henrik Motorsports over the last several years. So he will bow out. And Regan Smith, which we have seen here the past 4 weeks straight, taking over at Indianapolis, he will ride the wave to the finish line for 2018. So he'll ride that wave. And then Matt DiBenedetto, here's a well-liked driver. Obviously, right now he drives for Go Fast Racing. He will be that guy to take the ride and succeed Casey Kane next season. How about this man, Matt DiBenedetto, getting it done? And not only that, betting on himself, taking that chance where, obviously, if you want to make your dreams come true, you have to take a chance, make sacrifices, do what you can to reach your goals, your dreams, and achieve them. Matt DiBenedetto took a huge step in that direction. Yesterday, the announcement was made by Levine Family Racing. They'll be switching also a double dip. They'll be switching from Chevy to Toyotas. Obviously, that's not a surprise. That's been talked about. That's probably, one of the worst secrets probably in the garage area, really, since this has been going on for a couple months. Because then the iron really got hot, guys, when Virtual Racing decides to, couldn't go anymore, unfortunately, because of their situation. So Virtual Racing, Barney Visser and the guys hand a baton over to the 95 and Balavon and that bunch. And with the new package being announced and everything else for next year, this is even a more intriguing look, but definitely a solid A for Levine Family Racing. Matt DiBenedetto, we've talked about him a little bit here and there this year, about his performance on the racetrack in some races this year, and he has done himself, and not only this year, but really going back to last year too, doing whatever he can. So this guy, hungry, and he said he wanted to win races, and he took a chance on himself, and he won. So, and now, all this stir in the pot and everything else going to be really intriguing with the 78 team leaving the sport of NASCAR. We will see how this 95 relationship with Joe Gibbs Racing goes, because obviously Joe Gibbs Racing probably ran Virtual Racing out of NASCAR because of the things that I've been hearing and reading. Either they're jacking up the prices of the Alliance and all this other stuff and getting equipment, the tools, the everything that goes involved with these teams. You got to work together especially in a lot, we've seen more of this over the past several years, teams pairing with other teams, trying to get better. Obviously, a perfect example, Richard Childress Racing with JTG Doherty. Now, because of the switch with Almendinger getting the boot and Ryan Preece in that car, now they added, well, next year, they're dumping that because they're not competitive enough. They're going to pair it with Hendrick Motorsports, which also had multiple changes itself as well. Again, like I talked about in the top of tonight's episode, I'm going to say my 2 cents for part of the post-race playoff reaction of Talladega, so you might want to not touch that dial when that comes out. But yeah, so you know, all this cost of money, and then of course the package has dialed down the cost a little bit, so maybe, hey, you know, we can still get more teams and possibly another manufacturer comes in. And Levine, this has been talked about for a few months, making a switch over to Toyota. And not only that, they take, basically, in my opinion, they take the spot of Virtual Racing, and now they're going to be paired up with them. That, and a determined driver like DiBenedetto, DiBurrito, this is going to be really interesting. They have their eyes set on the playoffs for next year. Oh, boy, oh, boy. This is going to be one, probably, if I wanted to make a bold prediction, I would, and it would be about Matt DiBenedetto in this team. Because they can very well, I mean, I'm not saying they're going to win a championship and all that. I'm not going that far. That's a stretch. Because I'm not going to say anything because I haven't seen the next year's package. So I said that earlier this week on one of the episodes, and oh, by the way, you have not listened to the post-playoff reaction of Dover or listened to the Dustin Albino episode, I would definitely highly recommend you to do that as you get ready for Talladega. Great episode with Dustin earlier this week prior to these announcements. So we didn't know, well, Dustin probably knew more about it than I did, but it wasn't made official then than it is right now, sitting here talking to you guys. But Matt DiBenedetto, a career best finish last year. And of course, when you look at it, DiBenedetto is in his fourth Cup Series season right now, which is going to come to an end next month. And he spent the last 2 years with Go Fast. And he also started out his career with BK Racing, which was within Toyota's. So he's back with the Toyota family, and he basically begged in his interview after he talked to the media. He spoke with a couple of the national media people, and he basically said he begged pretty much the opportunity. He nagged Bob Levine to get in that ride, and he probably saw something. He saw something that probably, you know, he didn't see in any other organizations. Apparently, you know, you have the 41, the 1, 19 still available in that. But this is the perfect match in heaven between DiBurrito and Go Fast. And it's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun to watch next year. I mean, again, I'm not going to say he's going to win a championship and all that other stuff, especially with the announcement of the package and wanting more closer racing. "Quote unquote closer racing," but Matt DiBenedetto, you put him in that a good ride, and if everything works flawlessly here between Levine and Joe Gibbs Racing, this could be probably a dark horse right here for next year to make the playoffs. But he goes on to say, for Matt, he says, "I can only begin to explain how fortunate I am to be joining Levine Family Racing," and it goes on to say, quote, "The thought of being reunited with Toyota and the folks at TRD is just unbelievable for me and my family. This is the biggest opportunity of my life, and it's a dream come true to be a part of a team that continues to develop, to elevate their program at the highest level of NASCAR." And when I think about Casey Kane, July's effort back at Daytona, this organization has not won a race in NASCAR's highest level. So now, Levine, these guys, and the people within that organization are doing now, taking that proper steps now to possibly finally get their name in victory lane, and they think they can do it with Matt DiBenedetto. So it's going to be really interesting to follow next year this young man's career as it continues to move on, and he's moving on with the number 95. He still has unfinished business with the Gold Fast, but let's not rule out DiBenedetto this weekend at Talladega. Anybody can win this race, and for all the hype that's been surrounding Keselowski, Logano, the Penske's, Stewart Haas cars, all that other stuff. The last time we were at Talladega, we saw a Toyota go to victory lane in Eric Jones. It was a crash fest, and you might as well, basically, it was a Stenhouse wreck fest at Daytona, and we saw a Toyota emerge 1-2 with Eric Jones and Martin Truex Jr. there at Daytona. So if you can only imagine what it's going to be like. Yeah, man, stage is going to be like hell at Daytona on Sunday. You already know the situation. We've seen this from the Daytona last year, from the Daytona 500 last year. Everything ramps up, including this year's 500 also, where people drive over their heads and make mistakes. And I'd be damned if we don't see that. If I make another bold prediction, I'd probably say a mistake's going to be made toward the end of these stages, and somebody's going to get in somebody else's mess. I mean, and for some of those guys in the playoffs with cushions, I mean, yeah, you're going to get Keselowski going to be a great. You know, Penske's going to go to the front and all that other stuff. But hey, Matt DiBenedetto, and it gives like David Reagan. David Reagan finished sixth or seventh the last time we were at Talladega. These guys, we've seen it before, upsets with smaller teams. And I know Matt DiBenedetto is going to Levine next year, but I wouldn't rule this cat out of the bag. He, McDowell, ran really well at Daytona. You probably throw Regan Smith in there, the current driver of the 95 right now, who's done a nice job for the organization since taking over for Casey Kane, who shut down the season due to dehydration issues. But yeah, man. So even you can throw in McDowell, these guys, they're going to be on pins and needles. Even the playoff drivers are really going to be in pins and needles. So this is going to be really, really intriguing, plus an exciting race. And yeah, those end of the stages where the points are definitely are going to be at, because you need stage points like Bowyer, Almirola. Those two are pretty really good at plate racing. Kyle Larson, you don't know what you're going to get out of him, especially after what happened last week. And Alex Bowman, well, you know, a lot's been said that he's a decent. Everybody can be a decent plate racer, but everybody can be good in that department. But you gotta be consistent in order to put yourself in a position to where you can escape the big one or one of the wrecks or whatever, and put yourself in a position. Calculate it. It's like a chess game. It's gonna be a high chess game on Sunday with the playoff drivers and the guys that haven't won a race or trying to spoil the party, so, or an upset could be in the making. So you never know. You know, we've seen it over and over. Excuse me, once again, I apologize, but Talladega brings the best and worst out of drivers, and I would not be surprised if a playoff driver does not win. Any of the playoff driver does not win the race. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of hype surrounding Keselowski, and why not? Keselowski, Logano won there the last time we're in Alabama, so I mean, anything goes over there. So we'll see what happens this past weekend. But yeah, Matt DiBenedetto, one of the big news stories of the week in NASCAR. DiBenedetto going from Gold Fast to a team that's switching manufacturers from Chevy to Toyota, Levine Family Racing, which they have not been to victory lane in their existence in NASCAR. So, and they're taking, like I said, and also kind of what everybody's not really talking about, everybody's talking about Chris Bell and him being ready for Cup, and yet that still is alive. And with the move with Levine Family Racing over from Chevy to Toyota, you're listening to the 3Wide NASCAR podcast here with you for just a couple more minutes more. Eddie Greer, the third, here with the guys along with Big D, silently as usual, in EG3 Garage as we wrap up this discussion with Levine Family Racing from the From Pit Road Edition. But, yeah, so going back to my statement, Chris Bell. Talk as in Christopher Bell. Chris Bell, I mean, this was a 2-year deal with a 1-year option with Toyota. So they had the 1-year option with Toyota signed and sealed there. But with the Benedetto, this is a 2-year deal. Now, everybody's saying that Christopher Bell is cup ready. I would tend to agree with that. And I said that last year on this podcast that I kind of recommended him for the 77 until things didn't work out for Virtual Racing there and shutting the second ride down. And now they still have that option of now they can keep Chris Bell in the Xfinity Series at least for another year to see how everything goes with that situation. In the 19, we don't know the situation there yet, obviously. Obviously, I can say that right now, but I'm not going to say anything yet because nothing's been approved yet. So hold the phone still on that situation along with the 41 and the 1 car situation. But now, this right here is an opportunity not to see what DiBenedetto can do, but where they're going to put Bell if Matt DiBenedetto somewhat struggles in the number 95 and can't live up to his own word in this situation. So it'd be interesting. We've seen some crazy stuff happen with contracts and all that other stuff. We see it all the time in the NFL, and teams release individuals that don't hold their end of the bargain and whatnot. This is probably one of those times where, guys are in there pressing and trying to do a good job. But it'd be interesting to see what happens here. Granted, I mean, there's a lot of talk about, William Byron was at Toyota, which he was, and then losing him to Chevy. And there's a lot of people who think that Christopher Bell, this cat right here, making history last weekend, most wins as a rookie in the Xfinity Series with 6 now and possibly counting. And we're going to be seeing him next weekend in Kansas. But he has a chance to not only win, he won the truck championship last year. Now, he's possibly a win away from going to the championship four. Not only that, but possibly winning the Xfinity title. You're talking about, okay, he might do a William Byron and jump ship. That that right there, that's what Toyota people, executives are scared of. And with 2-year signing, this is not a 1-year signing for DiBenedetto. This is 2, from what I read. This is what I read. So if anybody said it was Seesaw 1, y'all can hit me up on Twitter and whatnot, and you can let me know about that. But yeah, so Bell, it'll be really interesting to see what Joe Gibbs does, and maybe they hold him down there for 1 more year at least for them. But if he holds down there for 2, I think definitely Bell leaves Toyota for the Cup Series. I mean, he's beaten a Cup regularly before at Kansas City last year, Eric Jones, in that thrilling Xfinity Series finish. So yeah, man, he knows how to wield that thing. So that is the other thing too, is will that hold Christopher Bell back from entering the Cup Series because of the signing here? And I don't know the full situation with Joe Gibbs Racing right now. Obviously, I said it here and there with the 19 car. Denny Hamlin signed a multi-year deal earlier this year. Kyle Busch, he ain't going nowhere. So there's that situation, or obviously Daniel Suarez not coming back, and neither is his crew chief Scott Graves. I mentioned Dave Rogers earlier in this episode. He's back for the rest of the year in that situation. So a lot of fitting pieces to the puzzle, at least for this year, is in place. As for next year's concern, we don't know the whole puzzle as of yet. There are pieces to the puzzle that has been placed, while pieces are yet to be found in the right places are still yet to be answered, Big D. So we still, so we still got that to look forward to, and we'll see what happens next. But yeah, but we do know over half the pieces of the silly season has been figured out, including the Levine Family Racing Organization moving on from Chevy to Toyota and signing Matt DiBenedetto to drive their race car next season. You can follow me at 3Y_FastEddie again on Twitter at FastEddie_EG3. And I apologize for sounding a little weird, but I got through it. And also, I finally managed to get the Dustin Albino episode up and running, so it is there. People were asking me about it, so my computer, my Apple computer, was, or probably still is, acting a little weird. So I had to use my wife's computer to upload that. So that is up and running. Please go check it out. It is a must listen. And yes, we talked about that prior to those announcements. So definitely a listen. And of course, you can listen to the playoff reaction of Dover as well. That is up on there as well, wherever you listen to your podcast: iTunes, Audio Boom, Apple Podcast, Stitcher. We got it. You name it, we got it. Mostly wherever you listen, download your podcast. If you have not downloaded EG3, 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3, you're missing out. Please, please tell your friends. If you're a current listener of this podcast, if you've been listening the entire year or been in and out, please tell your friends about it. It just gets us out there. This is not for my high being. This is out for our awareness, getting our show out there in the mix. Please do that and rate our show as well. And I had another train of thought until I lost it during that time. Yes, this is what I want to get to before we close tonight on the 3Y NASCAR Podcast with EG3. So after the race is over, and when I get back from small groups on Sunday night, when the race is over, usually I record post-race on Mondays, but I am super busy next week with, of course, race weekend and everything in between that time. I am going to record the post-race on Sunday, and it might be up Monday or Tuesday, depending on how I have some free time in there, but yes, so I'll record right when I get home from a small group. And, of course, hopefully the race will be over before I go there. So it'll be a little bit different. So I'm going to literally react to the race after the fact. So definitely I'll have that. I'm moving things around for this upcoming week because of a busy and exciting schedule ahead doing that. So I got that rolling for me. And hopefully I will get Mick Rose to on the podcast on Tuesday instead of Monday, so we'll see how that works out in my favor. We'll see how that is. But yes, man, yeah, my guys, we're getting down to it. Road to Kansas continues. We're a few days away from Dega, and obviously after the race, it's full throttle to Kansas City in the second elimination race of the 2018 playoffs. It is on from there. But again, we have unsolved situations with Talladega and what's going to happen out there. Going to have to tune into NBC. We'll have coverage of the race on national television. It's going to go down this weekend. And there was another thing I wanted to ask, say. Yes, the truck series. I mentioned earlier that it was going to be next week. It's been in and out with the truck series. I forgot they're even racing this weekend. The trucks, the Xfinity series is off this weekend. The trucks on elimination mode at Talladega, where six drivers will move on while two will be left in the dust. Justin Haley, Grant Enfinger are already transferring in. Probably the two least drivers, probably nobody picked to move on. And I said boldly on this podcast, Justin Haley was my dark horse to make the championship four over there. He's a step. He's a few races from that. He is moving on. And Grant Emmy with an overtime win the last time the trucks were there, probably a month ago or something like that. Now, Grant Emminger came out of the ashes and won in triple overtime at Vegas. He's locked in. So draws up, sets up a interesting elimination race in the truck series. So they'll be racing on Saturday on FS1, the Cup Series. Race number 2 of the round of 12 on Sunday, which is going to draw a lot of eyes as well. And let's not forget, I'm going to wrap up with this. Big D and folks, let's think about keep folks down south in your prayers. Hurricane Michael now, Tropical Storm Michael now, did a lot of damage down there. And I know there are a lot of heavy rains down in the state of Georgia also, in my home state. So, yeah, let's keep those folks all affected down there in your prayers as you move through the week, folks. So, but, yeah, so definitely keep them in your hearts, in your prayers, as well as we go through this week. And definitely looking forward to some activity this weekend. It's going to be this week. We have saw some big news. And like I said, I'll save that for the Sunday night recording of the post-playoff reaction, which will be posted either Monday or Tuesday. No later than Tuesday morning, hopefully. I can get that up there with the rest. So definitely excited to see what comes out on the other side. Big D, let's shut this thing down, baby. Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to wrap things up from the From Pit Road edition, Road to Kansas style of the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3. Big that shout out once again to Big D. Thanks for hanging out as usual down here. I'm Eddie Greer III. Thank you for hanging out with us tonight on the From Pit Road edition of the podcast, which featured Levine Family Racing over the last 40 hours. Major changes happening in that organization as they try to strive to get themselves in victory lane. And next year, they'll do that with Matt DiBenedetto. Casey Kane had to hang it up for his NASCAR career pretty much, unless he comes in to a one-time offer, but he is done for the year. Levine Family Racing hires Matt DiBenedetto as their driver of the number 95 Toyota, not Chevy, next year. Toyota paired up with Joe Gibbs Racing for next season. We out.
NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Be sure to stay tuned for next episode. Who's moving on and who will be left out? Catch us next time going 3 wide.